Search for the WICC 600 app on your smartphone and listen to Lisa anywhere. The Lisa Wexler Show is back on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Joining us now is Kathy Braun, and Alexis Harrison, who together have formed their own coalition to try and bring attention and awareness and advocacy with respect to local control of our own zoning in the state of Connecticut. Welcome back to the show, Kathy and Alexis. Can you give us a report? Alexis, hi. Alexis, can you give us a report of how many bills are now before various committees and just give us sort of a status conference, a status review? Where are we with all this?
Yeah, and it seems like a lot has happened since we last talked, and thank you again for having us on, Lisa. It seems like there are dozens of bills in front of the various committees, whether it's transportation, planning and development, and there's just so many bills, so many of them seem to overlap, and, you know, not every group can focus on every proposal. So there seems to be a lot. And, you know, one thing I'd like to bring up is, where is the 830G conversation? 830G is the affordable housing law that Connecticut passed 30 years ago. You know, they established a year-long Blue Ribbon Commission to study housing, and they came up with this law, which has been, you know, fairly maligned and has been, you know, brought up a lot of lawsuits. And one thing I'm concerned about is these various laws don't really talk about affordable housing, namely 830G. And that's what I've noticed throughout, you know, the deliberations I've been watching.
It's sort of ironic because the people who wanted to have more control of local zoning were trying to get rid of 830G. And it seems like the people that liked 830G are done and sick and tired of it because they think it was too ineffective. So it's very interesting. Yeah. It seems to be completely ignored in the process.
Happening.
Yeah, there is a lot happening.
And again, I wrote an op-ed piece this week, and one thing I'm asking legislators to do is, let's just put a stop to this conversation right now. Let's table it. There is so much going on. You know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. The legislators are not meeting in person. And I think it's really important to have in-person conversations about this, whether it's a constituent meeting with state representatives or having in-person hearings. I don't see the rush on this, and I think we should stop the haste. Take a step back and have all the stakeholders at the table. I think that would be a good way to approach it right now.
Are you getting any agreement on that? That's your advocacy, but where are you being heard by the people that you want to reach? Do they agree with you?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's kind of this fast express train going. I have not heard any feedback, you know, from the people who do have the power. There are some, you know, State Senator Tony Wong has been a fierce advocate, as has, you know, Greenwich State Rep Kimberly Fiorello. But the reality is, unfortunately, politics is at play here. We don't have those, Republicans don't have those numbers in the House to really have equal footing, if you will. And this shouldn't be a problem.
You live in Fairfield. You're a constituent of Fairfield. Is Christine Vahey, she's the head of the planning committee, right?
Yeah, she's co-chair. Kristen McCarthy Vahey, correct.
Kristen McCarthy Vahey. And she's relatively new, isn't she?
I think she's actually in her fourth term.
Is she? Okay. In her fourth term. Okay. And she represents Fairfield. Now, has she had meetings in Fairfield to take the temperature of the people in Fairfield to see if they agree with her on this?
As of now, she has not engaged her constituents. I actually did email her the other night asking her if she could hold some meetings, you know, a webinar, some kind of, you know, workshop on these topics with Tony Wong. And she said she will be engaging the public in the next week or so. And she did send a note out saying that she will have proponents and other people as part of these conversations. So it seems
proponents and opponents or just proponents? Is she a sponsor of? So is she a sponsor of some of the bills that you object to?
She is. Yes,
she is. Interesting.
So from my perspective as an environmental advocate, I feel like there's at least 12 bills in different committees. We don't know where they're all headed. You know, lawmaking has been compared to sausage making. It's a messy process. We know that. But I still feel the cart's been put before the horse. All these community outreach, in my opinion, should be done before we start shoving 12 or 13 bills in various committees. Many of these bills have overlapping provisions, and so they might cover the same area. And sometimes things like about environmental issues are stuck, buried at the back of a bill that never mentions environmental involvement. I can give one example, SB 804. It perked my interest because I listened to your show when Matt Mandel was on, an environmentalist from Westport, and I looked it up, and buried on clause 31 out of 32 is a profound and transformational change to the intervention statute, which allows anyone in Connecticut as of right to intervene into any proceeding to raise environmental issues. So that's being eviscerated if this bill passes. You will no longer be able to do it. You must have aggrievement or standing, which is a zoning term. I don't think an environmental law should be shoved at the tail end of a zoning law. And when people say, well, where are the environmental groups? I don't know if they're aware of every bill that's coming down the pike, and I don't know if they're aware there's a clause buried in a bill that doesn't mention environment. It mentions housing and zoning that could profoundly affect every citizen of our state's ability to raise environmental issues. That's a huge issue for me.
And zoning commissions, Kathy, you serve on the TPZ in Fairfield. Decisions made by our local commission, they are basically our mini EPAs. I've said this before.
Yes, they are.
You know, they protect our natural resources. They protect our public safety and the unique nature of each community.
So let's talk about this environmental thing. So the purpose of being able to intervene as an environmentalist is because all of us breathe water, air, and all of us share water, and every human being has a stake in the health of our environment, period, end, right? That's the thinking, right? You don't have to live next door.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So you're saying that buried in one of these bills is a clause that says that no longer will an environmental organization be able to intervene if they think that a specific kind of project will negatively impact the environment?
Well, here's what it says. The intervention statute, which, by the way, dates back to Connecticut's 1971 Environmental Protection Act, which found as a matter of public policy that saw, I'll just give you a little quick quote. The growing population and expanding economy of the state have had a profound impact on the life-sustaining environment. The air, water, land, and other natural resources taken for granted since the settlement of the state are now recognized as finite and precious. And it goes on and on. And then 22A-19 is part of that act, and it gives any human being or entity, even a government, the right to file some kind of a pleading into any proceeding. It could be a court case, it could be a wetlands application, it could be a zoning application, it could be a transportation matter. But if there's an environmental issue that's within that agency's jurisdiction, entity can file a pleading which states allegations that there could be, there's reasonable likelihood of impairment of the public trust in air, water, or natural resources. The proposed 804 in clause 31 out of 32, which also, by the way, impacts numerous other laws, not just zoning. In this case, it impacts 22A, which is the environmental statute. It says if there's any type of affordable housing development that is that issue for in that proceeding, then then you cannot file an intervention unless you can prove you have standing and aggrievement, which generally is a zoning term, which means you have to either live next door, I'm sort of summarizing it, but or have a direct impact on your property. And that completely eviscerates the purpose, the intent, and frankly, the public policy of the state regarding environmental protection. We want people to notice a problem and flag it and help raise the issue, because how else are we going to protect it? The next door neighbor might not have noticed it.
Well, and not only that, let me go one further. We had somebody call on the show the other day that brought up a really good point. I don't know if it was you, Alexis, but I don't remember. But so affordable housing and that conversation is really about trying to help people of color live in better circumstances and go into suburban neighborhoods. But there's another conversation about environmental equity that goes hand in hand with the fact that people of color for generations tended to live in places that were not environmentally as healthy. And by writing this into law, by a bunch of Democrats. It's extraordinary to me, just extraordinary to me, Democrats or Republicans, whatever, the people that want this to be law. They're basically allowing real estate developers to put affordable housing in places where even if there's a true environmental reason why it wouldn't be healthy for those people to be there, nobody can raise it. Think about that.
Yeah, right. And I'm quite frankly, I'm not sure that all these are affordable housing units. I think some of these laws would create more multifamily homes in the suburbs.
Of course. Well, we know that.
Value. I don't.
We know that. But even by putting in the language, in other words, you're saying that affordable housing as a policy trumps even the environment. But that's at cross purposes with the reality that a lot of poor people have lived in polluted spaces. And one of the things we want to do is clean up polluted spaces, no matter where they are, because it's not fair that poor people live in more polluted spaces.
Right.
There's a lot of things ignored. And I think it's because and I understand, good goal. This is a quote from you the other day. Good goal, bad policy. Everybody wants affordable housing. Everybody wants disadvantaged people to have a chance. But you should not do it at the cost of the environment or of the very people you're trying to help being stuck in an area that could be inundated with rising sea levels or something like that. There's many, many complicating environmental issues that now will not be able to be raised if there's any affordable housing aspect under 8-3. This is one thing where they are talking about 8-30G, but it's buried. Who even knows? That most of these laws don't deal with 8-30G, and frankly, this is not positive.
So we're running out of time because we're always running out of time on the radio. You have to tell people what they need to do if they want to help
call your
you
state
or help themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, call your state representatives, your state senators. And Lisa, if you don't mind, one quick plug. Kathy and I will be hosting a virtual conversation again on March 31st from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. With Kathy will be a speaker, as will State Representative Kimberly Fiorello, Sherman First Selectman Don Lowe, and Woodstock TPZ Chairman Jeff Gordon. We're having a conversation about zoning issues, land use issues, and what's at stake for Connecticut. So that's March 31st. People can contact me if they wish to attend, 203-556-2546. We're continuing to fight. That's our goal here. We got to.
Do you
keep
have a Facebook
awareness.
Page now where people can like it and be kept apprised of the developments? Have you organized that?
Yes, we do, and we have CT Residents for Local Zoning.
And that's a Facebook page.
It's a Facebook page, and then there's another Facebook page called CT 169 Strong.
Okay.
So two Facebook pages, lots of good information out there, and please visit them. And again, feel free to contact me if you don't have access to Facebook, 203-556-2546.
We'll have you back on again next week. We had Diane Cece on every week for a while because she was, you know, really representing the East Norwalk Neighborhood Association, and we wanted to keep tabs on that. Why don't we have you guys come on every week to tell us where we are with all this stuff? We'll have Stephanie Bookie. We'll just do a weekly thing through the session. Well, we want to see what happens here. Okay.
Great. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure. Kathy Braun, Alexis Harrison on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back. We've got messages, news, weather, and traffic at the top of the hour. Senator Richard Blumenthal will be joining us for a few minutes at 11:15, and he's going to summarize for us these dramatic changes in voting rights that are on the Senate floor. We'll be right back.